Good morning. It's 9:36. Starting to kind of clear off here. We're at 40 degrees right now. Tuesday, April 5th edition of the morning show. Thank you very much for being a part of it. Talk around today, man. It has been a busy day. We're going to kind of wrap things up with our good friends from Richland County Public Health. It is National Public Health Week going on this week, and they do so much stuff at Richland County Public Health. It's going to take a whole week just to talk about it all. And Ariel, when is the last time you were in here? I know at one point you were in here almost every other week, and then, you know, COVID hit.
Yeah, it was fun. I would say 2020, probably. Yeah,
right in there.
Yeah, right before things kind of hit, I would say like April. We were probably in here in January, maybe December, talking on some stuff. So it's nice to be back.
It's great to have you back in here talking National Public Health Week going on this week.
Yes.
Well, what's your segment? Are we talking tobacco here? Is that what we're going to start with?
Yeah, I thought I'd touch a little bit of both. So we got the Tobacco Prevention and Control Program grant, which we've always had. And then I'll touch just a little bit briefly on our Drug-Free Communities grant.
Sure.
Kind of what I do on a daily basis, working a lot with the tobacco prevention world, especially with the youth. That's always kind of been a heavy hitter for us, working to prevent youth initiation of tobacco use. And we've seen in the last couple of years a lot of e-cigarette use is kind of the new big thing that we're dealing with our younger population and even adults. And so just getting out to educate in schools. We've been going to parent-teacher conferences, any type of outreach we can, which with COVID has been pretty difficult to kind of stay on top and really educate parents and adults on kind of what to watch for when you're seeing kids use these products. You know, what are they look like? And then the hardest thing and I would say challenging thing for myself is I'm doing tobacco cessation now. So we have that to offer in our department, which is a great asset to have here locally. And there's a lot of great resources on the national and even the state level. But to have the in-person cessation counseling and providing NRT, what I'm seeing is there's a higher influx of young individuals that are coming in addicted to nicotine. And so it's really just trying to educate them. Yeah, you know, it's fun and the flavors are really hitting. And for a lot of us adults who have used tobacco products for many years or been around them, your typical flavors were mint and menthol, other than a couple of, you know, more fun little cigars and stuff like that, where kids are being exposed to 15,000 plus flavors out there. And we're seeing it in e-liquid form. So just kind of trying to dive in and to deal with that and the different levels of nicotine content that they're getting is pretty alarming. And then we also kind of tie it in with what we're seeing with liquid marijuana and, you know, that types of things. So schools are really having to deal with things that they're not used to. And how do you identify? And when you have a kid in class using a product, typically, that's not just for fun anymore, right? Mm-hmm. So we're really trying to tie in that nicotine addiction to that. And so dealing with that on a local level, even state and national level, has definitely been a big project and a battle for us in the tobacco prevention world. So I'm always out there trying to educate and looking for anybody to ask us to come in. We're more than happy to come to schools or any type of outreach to provide, you know, some good information for not just parents, but for students themselves.
Since the last time we talked, Ariel, has there been any more, like we talked about government regulation as far as, you know, as far as just the vaping, we were talking about that and what's going into those products?
Yeah.
Has there been any more regulation or has they stepped it up at all?
Yeah, there's been some and it's been hard. I mean, the tobacco world obviously has a lot of money and government's a big thing to deal with when you're enacting laws. When Juul was kind of hard hitting, I would say when we were back talking in January 2020, they did come out to regulate pod-like systems. So a lot of Juul products were pod systems. So they had to eliminate a lot of those flavors that they were putting into them. Well, now there's just disposable ones. So individuals can go still buy those flavored products, Watermelon Crush, you know, lemonade, whatever. And you're buying a product that's just a one-time use and then you throw it away. Where the pod, they tried to eliminate those products of the flavors. And then now they're, so it's just kind of constant, like, okay, what's going to come up next? And you kind of got to stay ahead of the game. And
how are they going to work around
it? Yes, right. Yeah, and absolutely. So that's always been a challenge. But, I mean, we're up for it. I think it's important to protect youth and really try to prevent that initiation. Tobacco's a, and nicotine in general is a very hard substance to quit. And so just kind of a little segue with that to just cessation again. We do offer that in person now. We provide free nicotine replacement therapy products. So you come meet with me. I'll assess kind of where you're at. We'll do some counseling. And then we give out the gum, the lozenges, and the patches. So free of cost. There's no you know, signing of anything that you have to pay for that. And that's a service that we think is important to offer to our county residents rather than trying to get a hold of the state at a or a national level to get those resources.
Boy, what a great resource to have available right here in home, too.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Ariel, good to have you back in here.
Thank you.
Let's move over to Angie, our community resource coordinator.
Hi, Bill.
Richland County Public Health. Good morning. Good to have
morning.
You in here.
Thanks for having us.
Well, tell us a little bit about a community resource coordinator. What do you do over there at Public Health?
Okay, well, in our case, a community resource coordinator is an advocate for people trying to navigate the complex healthcare system in our world. I also offer other assistance as needed.
Right. And we say complex healthcare, we both chuckle because it's like, boy, that's understating things. Is there a charge for this service, Angie?
Absolutely not. It's open to everyone. The only requirement is that you're a Richland County resident.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Doesn't matter what your income is.
Fantastic. So what kind of things do you help people with, if you can get a little bit more specific?
Okay. There's quite a few areas that I help people with, but the largest is probably Medicare. And again, complex system.
Oh, yeah. Many
people don't realize there's four parts to Medicare, and each part covers a specific area of healthcare. And I can give basic information about Medicare, how to get started. 3 months before is the key. your 65th birthday. I can give you information about Medicare supplements, and I can also help you enroll in Medicare D, which is the prescription part of Medicare. So it's important to have all those parts to get it working right. And again, complex.
And Angie, when you see people and you're actually spelling it, do you actually see relief on their face?
Oh, yeah.
I can imagine when it's like, oh, I finally am getting to understand this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because it does. It takes something to navigate that. So what are some of the other areas that you can assist a client in?
I can also, you know, I get someone in my office and I kind of just visit with them and try to figure out what they might need help with. And sometimes it's low-income housing, prescription assistance, even after insurance. But those copays are ridiculously expensive. Disability programs, visual and hearing impaired services, financial assistance through medical facilities or other means.
Right.
Legal assistance at times. And then little things like referrals to Meals on Wheels and social services. I can also be a mediator a lot of times with Social Security or other insurance companies, Medicare, those kind of things.
So you're the answer person.
Kind of. And if I don't have the answer, I have amazing sources.
Right. Well, you can even help out with tax refunds as far as renters go. Tell us about this.
Right. So the renter's property tax refund, I know I talk healthcare, but this is an annual refund, and we can look at a person's gross income and then deduct medical expenses to see if they qualify for this. And, you know, it's not a huge amount, $400, but I'm sorry, a dollar is a dollar in our world.
Right, and getting to be harder to come
absolutely.
By.
Absolutely. The person has to be 65 or older or disabled to apply for it. But if you feel you might be qualified, call me and we'll figure it out together.
Okay, and we've got till the end of May to get
May
applications
31st.
In, May
exactly.
31st?
Yep.
Fantastic. So, Angie, as far as the time of the year, are there times of the year that are busier than others?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I feel like I'm busy, but my fall is busy, busy.
Right.
It's Medicare open enrollment, which means if you're an existing... If you have a prescription plan, existing coverage, that's the one time a year you can look at it and make sure it's still the right plan for you.
Okay.
So October 15th through December 7th, it's not too early to make an appointment. but then we can review. We look at the medications that you're on and compare them with the other drug plans in our county and make sure you're still in the right plan for you.
Okay. Fantastic. So as far as people... hearing about you, how did they get to you? I mean, how are people directed to community resources?
I get referrals from doctors, clinics, pharmacies, other agencies like social services, friends, relatives.
Right.
I had a lady call the other day. She said, my friend said I have to talk to you before I turn 65. So that works too. So, you know, again, if you think I might be able to help, call me. And if I can't, I'll get you to another source.
So what is the ramp up for you? How much learning do you have to do to keep up with all of this?
Daily.
Daily? I would imagine because this stuff changes
it
daily, almost by the minute.
Yeah, I think I get it figured out and then boom, it's something different. So again, I have wonderful sources with Medicare, Social Security, my state office. I just have amazing sources.
So if people are listening to this right now and they say, gee, I got to talk to Angie, they can just call you over there.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You might get my voicemail, but please be patient. I'll call you back just as soon as I can.
Oh, fantastic. You know, it's one of my favorite weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Because, again, there's so much There's so much to cover with Richland County Public Health. Ladies, thank you so much for stopping by, and thank you for the services and everything you do for the community. Much appreciated.
Thanks for having us, Bill.
All right, Ariel and Angie, thank you.